Oh, hey, what's up, you guys? How's everybody doing out there? As I was thinking about this, two thoughts popped into my brain. Either one, you guys are on the nice list and you got me as the gift, or you were on the naughty list and you got me as the gift. We'll figure out after the sermon's done which one of those you guys are. My name is Grant. We are so happy that you're here for this Sunday night service here at Summit. It's our young adult service here at Crossline, and I am once again speaking and filling in for Pastor Taylor as he is venturing back from his holiday travels. He got to spend some much-needed time with his wife's extended family out in Idaho, so just really amazing time that he got to be there, and wanted to give him as much time to enjoy that and be with her family especially. So I am here. But the funny part about it is, like, when he's asked me to, like, speak for him, as I've, like, reflected back on the times that he's asked me to speak for him, I go, oh my gosh, like, I'm throwing this guy so many favors right now. One, I had to kick off, like, the Christmas season, like, oh yeah, just, you know, kick off Christmas here. And now it's like, hey, by the way, like, close off the decade and set up the next year. I'm like, yeah, cool. Thanks, man. Like, you know, yeah, it's good. Here we go. So, we'll see how it shakes out. Hopefully I set up the foundation for the new year in a good way. But anyway, just to give a little backstory in case you have no idea who this guy with a beard is. My name is Grant. I'm the high school pastor here at Crossline. I've been working here since 2007. I have a pretty crazy story with regards to just how the Lord has worked in my life. And my offer is always the same anytime I go and speak. Is, hey, if you want to know more about me and my story and how I came to be where I'm at, I am somebody that enjoys food, and I'm somebody that enjoys a good cup of coffee. And when I say good cup of coffee, like, I'm not talking, you know, Denny's. I'm talking, like, you know, we're talking third wave primo style here, like, you know, Hidden House, Bear Coast, Steelhead, what, like, those kind of, you're like, what are those places? Then we need to talk about your coffee loves, or your coffee influences. But I enjoy all that stuff. If you want to know more about me, like I said, I would love to go do that. And especially now that I'm no longer moonlighting as the Crossline Church innkeeper, I have a lot more time on my hands to do things. Yeah, we threw, like, a whole Journey to Bethlehem thing, immersive experience, and I got to be the joke keeper. It was pretty legit, you guys, let me tell you, but took up a lot of my time. Anyway, here I am tonight. Like I said, I am kind of closing off the year, setting up the new year, so we're going to be doing that out of a couple places in Scripture tonight, but before we do that, let me pray, and then we'll get going. Father God, we thank you for tonight, God. I thank you for everybody that's here. It can be a lot, you know, service last week on Sunday, then service on Tuesday, and then it's like, church again on Sunday. But Lord, it's here, and these times are so blessed, Lord, because we are in community and we're in the presence of other believers that are on this journey with us. We're being encouraged by their words, by these songs, by your word, God. And as we put ourselves in this presence, God, we put ourselves in your presence here by turning our focus and our attention onto you, God. When we do that, that's when we have the power to be transformed. That's when we have the power to be encouraged, to make bold acts and bold steps of faith. And so, God, I pray that as we are gathered here tonight, would we get exactly the word that we need to get, whether that's a word of encouragement, whether that's a word of healing, blessing, whatever it is, God, I pray that you would be speaking tonight, and that your word would not fall on deaf ears. But God, it would fall on ears that are attentive, that not only hear your word, but listen to it and allow it to mold us and shape us. So God, I pray that you'd be with us tonight as we preach out of your word, and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, actually, I shouldn't have had you close your eyes. So like I said, we are kind of closing off the whole year and setting up the next year. And no big deal or anything, but it is the beginning of a new decade. Those only roll around once every 10 years. Go figure. So that's a decade. If you didn't know what a decade meant, there you go, 10. Yeah, so what I want to do with that, I mean, like I said, this rolls around once every 10 years. You don't have many opportunities to kind of preach about a decade and having a decades-long vision. And so what I want to do really quick is I just want you guys to close your eyes. And I just want to kind of talk through some potentials of what not just this next year, but even this next set of 10 years could be. So if you guys, yeah, wouldn't mind just closing your eyes, and I'm just going to kind of walk through some stuff. So let me think here. All right. As we think about young adults in the life stage that you guys are in, and you think through this next year and this next decade, for me personally, I'll be in my 40s. And for you guys, that means most likely being either right there along with me or in your 30s. What does that look like to be in your 30s at the end of this decade? For many people, it's probably going to mean marriage or a very serious relationship that's right there on the cusp. For those of you that are married, maybe the end of this decade means kids, and you will have a growing family. Maybe for some of you, it's going to be work. And are you staying at the same job that you're in? Or is it going to be a new thing that you're doing? Location. Where are you going to be at the end of 10 years? Will it be here? Or will it be somewhere else, somewhere different? For those of you that are currently in school, in college, you'll be graduated. You'll be done with that season of life, hopefully. And you'll be beginning just the journey of adulthood and having your first job. Maybe you are thinking about going back to school. And so you'll be back in grad school or just having finished up grad school. Maybe wounds that are extremely fresh right now, pains that are extremely fresh right now, will be healed up a little bit. It'll be 10 years of opportunity to kind of let things settle. Not necessarily go away, but to be taken care of in a better sense. So you think about that. There's so much potential there. You guys can go ahead and open your eyes back up. Speaking to young adults, you guys are in a crazy season of life. You're in a season of life where so much of what's going to take place, not just in this new year, but in this next decade, the 20s, where your foundation for life, you're laying the foundation for your life for the decades that are going to come after this one. It's significant. There's a weight there. There's a heaviness there. And that, you know, that might be exciting. Like, oh my gosh, I can't wait. It could also be extremely stressful. And you're anxious, and making you do that exercise. You know, you're having that Spider-Man moment where you're like, Mr. Stark, I don't feel so good right now. You're having that moment where you're like, wow, yeah, thinking about the end of a decade and like everything. Oh my gosh, yeah. But that's the journey that we're going to begin in a couple days. I said this earlier to my students. Barring God's divine intervention, we are going to move through these next 10 years. The earth is going to spin on its axis, and we are going to rotate around the sun. And these next 10 years are not a question of if they're going to be completed, but it's just simply going to be the process of waiting for them to be completed. And so as you think about that, and you think about, you know, this next year to come, and then especially this decade and what that can be about, what I really want to do is I want to set you guys up for it. I don't want it to be something that might cause you dread or something that might cause you anxiety. Instead, I want you to be able to successfully navigate it and to have a foundation laid in your life that no matter what comes up, you'll be able to weather anything. The expectations that, you know, you might have now that get met, the expectations that you might have for these next 10 years that don't get met. The mountains that you're hoping to climb and the valleys that you are unexpectedly going to have to cross. How do you navigate those? And so what I want to do is I just want to, like I said, lay the foundation of how to navigate them. And so I want to turn our eyes first to Matthew chapter 6. So if you have a Bible, Matthew chapter 6. If not, it'll be on the screen. But we're going to read Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 34. And here's what it says in Matthew 19 to 34. It says, don't collect for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But collect for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? No one can be a slave of two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot be slaves of God and of money. This is why I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? And can any of you add a single cubit to his height by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Learn how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? For the idolaters eagerly seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. As we look at these 15 verses, kind of just big picture idea, looking at these verses, kind of here's the big idea. Jesus calls his followers to have a heavenward mindset that is devoted to God and seeking first God's kingdom. That's just kind of breaking apart this chunk of text, the first part of it being verses 19 to 24, the second part being verses 25 to 34. From those verses, you know, you get this idea that, you know, what is Jesus teaching here? He's teaching his followers to have a heavenward mindset that's devoted to God, and it's seeking his kingdom. It's seeking God's kingdom first. And so just that first part, right, Jesus calls his followers to have a heavenward mindset that is devoted. That's coming from verses 19 to 24. And so what Jesus does here in verses 19 to 21, you know, he explicitly kind of talks about where your vision is set. And he says, don't set your mindset on accumulating, on gathering things that are going to be present in this world, that are the stuff of this world. Because when you have the mindset that is of this world and accumulating things within this world, the reality is this world is temporary. This world will eventually fade away. And so the things of this world will fade away. And even if you manage to accumulate a lot of things, there's the potential for those things to even be taken from you. And so his call there is not to collect for yourself treasures here, but instead to collect for yourselves treasures in heaven. Have that mindset where you're focused more towards building towards eternity as opposed to building presently. Then he's going to go on and kind of explain that a little bit more in verses 22 to 24. And the heart behind, you know, where your mindset is, the reality is this. You can't have it both ways. Because if you're devoted to the things of this world and collecting and storing up treasures here, you are going to be in opposition to God and being devoted to God. Because what he says in verse 24, right, is that you can't serve both God and money. Money is the means by which we accumulate. And so if you are about accumulating things presently, you are not going to be able to serve God because you're going to be more focused on the stuff here and your earthly masters as opposed to your heavenly master. And so putting that into like our context of stuff, you know, you guys, again, we're on this journey of young adulthood and the treasures and the things that we value here, the possessions that we value here. Sure, there might be a material aspect to that, you know, wanting a house, wanting not have a car payment. I know, right? But there's other treasures and possessions that we set our sights on here in young adulthood. I mean, marriage and family is a huge one. And there's almost this feeling of incompleteness, this feeling of lack if you aren't married, if you aren't, you know, having kids. You know, if you're not a husband, or if you're not a wife, if you're not a father, if you're not a mother, you know, we can set our desires on those things, on that dream job that, you know, if I just get this job, everything's going to be set. And so we work so hard to pursue this, because it's like, well, if I just get this job, I can put everything else on hold, because I know, like, I'm just putting it on hold, because once I get that job, everything is going to be great. And either we don't get the job, or we get the job and then we quickly realize, wait a second, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. You know, that's, I would say, kind of our temptations of collecting for ourselves treasures here, status here. And the reality is, if we pursue those things and we make those things the most important things in our life, we're not serving God, we're serving ourselves. We're not living with a heavenward mindset, we're living with an earthly mindset. We're living according to what the world says we should value, what the world says is important, or what it should matter. And here's the thing about that. That's what causes anxiety in the first place. Anxiety, you know, Scripture is going to talk, you know, there definitely is a part of it with anxiety that is going to come from a mental component that might, you know, need help outside of what the Word can give us. But so much, I would say, of our anxiety is honestly self-inflicted. And it's anxiety that we bring upon ourselves. And it's anxiety that we bring upon ourselves because we pursue things of this world. And it's in the pursuit of those things that we start stressing out, or we start worrying, and we start, you know, freaking out about it. It's because we've made our focus on this world, and we've made our focus not on being devoted to God, but on being devoted to the things of this world. Which is why, you know, in verse 25 there, right, where it says, this is why I tell you, don't worry about your life. That's a transition there. This is why I tell you, don't worry about your life. If you are devoted to God, following the words of verse 24, if you have a mindset that is towards eternity, you know, verses 19 through 21, and you don't need to worry. Because your mindset is towards God, and what do we know about God? He is a provider. I mean, just look earlier in chapter 6, right, when you go to the Lord's Prayer, you know, verses 9 to 13 there. The overwhelming message of prayer that Jesus teaches his followers is to depend on God, is to go to God. And so if we are doing that, if we are depending on God, then we don't need to worry. And we don't need to be anxious, because we have somebody that ultimately can provide for us, and not just provide for us, but provide the best for us. And so, you know, you have verses 25 to 34 where it's talking about this anxiety, and, you know, don't be or chasing after the things of this world like idolaters, non-Christians do, but instead set yourself up as unique within this world that chases after the things of this world. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And he says, you know, that's where your priorities should be. And when you go after those things, anxiety kind of starts to melt a little bit. Worry starts to melt a little bit. Because here's the thing that we always need every single day of our lives. It's to be reminded of this truth, that we need to be heaven-minded. We need to be devoted to God. We need to be seeking first his kingdom. That needs to be a daily thing. Why? Because we're very forgetful people. We constantly forget, even just something as simple and basic as that. And so the beauty part of it, right, verse 34 of chapter 6, therefore don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough to worry about. Here's what you need to worry about today: seeking first the kingdom, being devoted to God, creating a heavenward mindset. That is, just worry about that each and every single day. And I promise you, you'll make it through this year. I promise you, you'll make it through this decade. Because that's the foundation that's going to last. That's the foundation that can't be shaken. And Jesus is even going to talk about building your life on these words at the end of Matthew 7. Because within the text, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are a unit of scripture. yes, I can, Siri. You're good. Don't even worry. Oh, it's all good. Don't even worry. By the way, Ashton, what is your favorite color? You sure about that? there you go. Sorry. that was great. Sorry. Obviously, blue is the best color. But anyway, that's a whole other side point. Yeah, so Matthew 5, 6, and 7 all go together. And at the end of Matthew 7, Jesus says, build your life on these words, the words that he's just spoken, because that is a foundation that when the floods come, it will not be destroyed. As you go into this next decade, as you go into this next year, and all of the things that it could potentially bring, all of the potential earthly treasures that you could pursue here, all of those things are going to fade away at some point, and they aren't lasting. But one thing is, and that's God's word. And so for believers just navigating this next year, navigating this next decade, just very simply lay the foundation of being intentional about having a heavenward mindset, being devoted to God and seeking first the kingdom. Even more so than I want to get married this year or this decade. I want to have kids this decade. I want to have a successful, I want to be in, you know, this job earning this much money. Don't. Those things, you know, if you're following God and you're loving God, that means you're going to be loving people. It means you're going to be working because God calls us to work and to glorify God in our work. I promise you this, that stuff will be taken care of if you get the vertical right. And so rather than being worried about what this next decade will bring, worry about your walk with God and being intentional there, and what comes, comes. And that way you also won't be disappointed if your expectations don't get met. Because at the end of the day, life isn't about marriage. It's not about kids. It's not about a job. It's not about having a mortgage. life is about our relationship with God. All of those other things are the blessings that get thrown in our life. But those things are not our lives. When we get to eternity, our greatest gift that we could ever have is God and our relationship with him. And so make this next year, make this next decade, as you have the opportunity to really lay that foundation, very simply what Jesus says. Heavenward mindset, devotion to God, seeking first his kingdom. But what I want to do, again, making our focus God, his kingdom, so we don't get off track pursuing the things of this world, and being filled with the anxiety that comes along with that. What I want to do kind of in closing is kind of look at an example of this. And to look at an example of this out of Scripture. So how do we cultivate this devotion to God? How do we create a heavenward mindset? How do we seek first the kingdom? Great example of that is going to come out of Joshua chapter 1. So if you have, again, your Bible, go ahead and flip there to Joshua 1. It's all the way in the Old Testament. It is the sixth book of the Old Testament, right before the book of Judges, right after the book of Deuteronomy. Joshua 1. And we're going to be looking at an example of a guy, Joshua, who was going into a brand new season of new. He was going into a season of, like I said, new in the sense of two things. One, a new land, and two, being the leader, the new leader of an entire people group. Joshua was a guy who, he was an Israelite who was rescued out of Egypt by Moses, and then he was somebody that demonstrated this faith in God that was modeled by Moses, and he was, elevated into the position of leadership after Moses' death. And Moses dies at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, spoiler alert. Didn't know that though. Sorry. Is that really a spoiler? It's like thousands of years. He dies, and Joshua is made the leader. And put that on yourself. Moses is described at the end of Deuteronomy as the greatest prophet to ever exist until Jesus. Have fun following in those footsteps, Joshua. You're only following after the goat prophet. Like, good luck. So he's like, new responsibility. I have to do this. And he's taking the people into a new season. In the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, God makes a promise to the Israelite people that they will have a land that they will be able to call home, the promised land. Joshua is the book of Joshua is the fulfillment of that prophecy. That promise that God makes. So we're talking about hundreds of years of waiting for the Lord to give them their land, and the book of Joshua is the fulfillment of that promise. They had never been in the land before. They had never known the land before. They were going to have to take the land because the land was occupied by a bunch of not good people who were very frightening and scary. It was brand new, and that is what it's not just like, hey, Joshua, Moses has set you up. You guys are living in the promised land. Just don't screw it up. Keep the wheels on the... It's like, no. Joshua, not only are you going to be the new leader, but you're also going to lead the people into a brand new season. Again, just this perfect analogy of where we're at in the year, where we're leaving the old of 2019. We're going into the new of 2020. We're going into the new of a new decade and everything that comes along with that. And so as we set up that framework, again, we're looking at how can we cultivate this mindset out of Matthew 6 by looking at the example of Joshua. So Joshua 1, verses 1 to 9, here's where I think we can find it. It says this: after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, who had served Moses. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I am giving the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. Your territory will be from the wilderness and Lebanon to the great Euphrates River and all the land of the Hittites, and west to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. As we look at Joshua going into a new season, leading the people into the promised land, becoming a new leader, here's what we see. That God's instruction for Joshua, who was probably freaking out in light of how many times be strong and courageous is said, his instruction for Joshua as he was about to lead the Israelites into this next part of their story was to center himself on Scripture. Center himself on Scripture. And that's just verses, 6 through 9. What is the Lord's word for Joshua? To observe the word and the commands that come out of it, and to recite it, to never let its words leave your mouth. That's interesting. It's not, hey, go read a book on how to be a great leader. 10 strategies for becoming, a successful person or something? I don't know. It's not that. I just sounded like a total boomer there. Yeah, something like that. It's not reading a self-help book on how to become a leader. It's not preparing a war strategy. I say, hey, gather up all of the generals or the commanders of the army and come up with a strategy. No. It's, hey, you see this book? Read it so that you can observe it, so that you can recite it, so its words never leave your mouth. In a season of new, it's not about figuring things out. That's about burying yourself in God's word. That was the instruction that God gave to Moses. Verses 1 to 5 make it abundantly clear. Moses, you're going into the promised land, and there ain't nothing that's going to stop you. Because I'm with you. And I'm going to fight for you. And everything that comes up, I'm going to take care of. So I don't need you to come up with a strategy. I don't need you to, practice being a leader. Here's what I need you to do. I need you right here. I need you right here. Because I need you not turning to the right or the left. I need you focused on me. Because that's where your success is going to come from. It's going to come from being focused on me. It's not a priority to know how the promised land is going to be conquered, the strategies that are going to go along with it. It's going to be, hey, when it's conquered, how are you living within it? There's going to be so many things that come up in this next year. There's going to be so many things that come up in this next decade. I promise you that. It's not a question of if, it's just a question of when. It's not a question of mountains or valleys. It's going to be when do those mountains and valleys show up. And so it's not about discerning the signs and like, oh, when is it going to happen? It's no, when it happens, how do I navigate through it? How do I prepare myself for those mountains and those successes so that when I'm in it, I'm loving God and I'm loving people? How do I prepare myself for those valleys, those difficulties, so that when I'm in it, I'm loving God and I'm loving people? Because the reason that you got to the mountain in the first place is because God provided that for you. And when you're in the midst of a valley, the reality is that valley does not control you. God controls it, and he will eventually bring you through it. I'm reminded of Deuteronomy 29, where God speaks to his people, the Israelites, and he says, for 40 years, I disciplined you like a child, like a son. You went through some difficulty because I needed you to learn that you could trust me as a good father. And for those 40 years, while there might have been difficult, your shoes never wore out, and neither did your clothes, and your food never ran out. I cared for you the entire time. But I had you go through that because I wanted to grow you. I wanted to sharpen you. So there's going to be things that come up in this next year. There's going to be things that come up in this next decade. And it's not about knowing what those things are, but it's about having the ability to navigate those things when they do come up. And especially if you're following after Jesus, navigating them in a way that's honoring to the Lord, honoring to him. I love it, again, even out of Deuteronomy 17. In Deuteronomy 17, Moses lays out, or God, through Moses, lays out the requirements for the king. And the basis for a king is not upon his looks, it's not upon his leadership ability, or some of the important things that a king, you know, it's not about the king's wealth or the king's, like I said, looks or intelligence, anything like that. Most importantly, the qualities that God wants in his king out of Deuteronomy 17 is that they actually write out the entire law by hand. The first five books of the Bible, write that out. And then carry it with you every single day of your life, doing exactly what he said for Joshua to do. To observe it, to recite it, to meditate on it, to never let it leave your side. Because that's how you as a king will prosper, and your kingdom will prosper. Not because you're a wizard marketing genius. Not because you've got a great family. But because you have my word next to you and you're letting it guide you. You're letting it be the thing that you build your life on. And so again, for us, applying that to ourselves, as we go into a new year and a new decade, let's center ourselves on Scripture so that we can grow in our devotion to God and pursue his kingdom. How do we grow in our devotion to God? How do we pursue the kingdom? out of Matthew 6, it's this, and making this a priority, making time in this a priority. It's the word that he gave to Moses. I'm sorry, the word that he gave to Joshua as Joshua was about to navigate a brand new season of life as the leader of Israel, as the person that was going to lead the Israelites into their homeland. It was this. Because as you spend time in the word, as you spend time in your Bible, it's going to teach you about God, and you're going to see God, and you're going to see how amazing he is, and you're going to see who he is. And the more time that we spend around God, the higher likelihood that we're going to develop a greater affection for God, a greater devotion towards God. The word is going to teach us about the kingdom and how to live seeking first the kingdom, how to make God's ways the priority as opposed to the world's ways, how to live in this world, to do the things of the kingdom while living in the midst of the world and not doing the things of the world. This book is going to mold us and shape us, and it's going to keep us, like I said, centered on God, devoted to him with a heavenward mindset, helping us to seek first the kingdom. It's not going to give you every single answer for this next year. It's not going to give you every single answer for what these next 10 years hold for you. It can't speak into every aspect of your life in that way where it's like a fortune teller. You know, it's the sports almanac from the Back to the Future series where it's going to tell you every score for the next 50 years. It doesn't do that. But what it does is it gives you the foundation so that when you go into certain places in your life, you'll know how to navigate them again in a way that loves God and loves people. I taught a series a little earlier in the year to my high schoolers called God's Plan, modeled after the great theologian Drake. I'm clever, you guys. I'm hip. Like I said, you know, the last time I preached here, I'm not a regular pastor. I'm a cool pastor. And I talked about how God's plan, it's a lot like a plane. God is the pilot, and he's flying the plane to the destination, and we are along for that ride. We are all packed into that plane, flying along with God. But if you've ever been on a plane, right, you have freedom. You know, the moment that you're on that plane, as long as you're not, you know, trying to take over the plane, you have freedom. You need to go to the bathroom, go to the bathroom. You need to get up and stretch, get up and stretch. You need to go get some more water to hydrate or dehydrate, you know, you're going to go do that. You want to watch the in-flight entertainment, you want to watch or catch up on a Netflix series that you downloaded onto your iPad, whatever floats your boat, go for it. You have that freedom. The plane's still going to go to its destination, but as it's going towards that destination, move about the cabin. And I think so much of life is that way for us. God's very particular about his desire for us and what we should do. And it rarely is laying out X, Y, and Z for us to do something. It's often, hey, whatever you end up doing, be devoted to me in the midst of it, loving me in the midst of it, and loving the people around you in the midst of it. And, you know, whether you choose, you know, whether marriage happens or doesn't happen, whether a job happens, you know, in Los Angeles or happens in Colorado, it's not like God's going to be like, no, you were supposed to marry that person. Now that you didn't marry that person, the plane's going to veer off over here. Or, no, you were supposed to pick that spot and not that spot. Now that you did that, the plane's going to veer. No. He's flying the plane where he's going to take the plane. And he gives us that freedom. While he's moving us towards that destination to go and do things. And his requirement in the midst of that, right, is very simple. It's this idea of, hey, center yourselves on scripture. Because when you do that, you're gonna grow that devotion towards me. You're gonna grow that attitude of seeking first my kingdom. And as you're doing that, whatever comes your way, and you'll be able to navigate it. It doesn't, it's not something super complicated. It's not something that is a magic formula that we have to do, but it's something that God, you know, it's just so simple in his eyes. You know, we're like, really, God? That's it, man? Like, Joshua is about to lead these people into like a brand new place, and all you're telling him to do is to like read your word? Yeah. All right. Wait, like, you mean the cure to you know, worrying about what this next year is going to have in store for me, the cure for what this next decade might look for me is to be devoted to God and seek first the kingdom? Yeah. All right. So let's make that the priority. Let's set ourselves up with that foundation so that we can navigate whatever it is that this next year throws at us, or whatever it is these next 10 years throw at us, in a way that honors God and honors the people around us. Let me pray, and we're going to continue on with our worship set. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. That again, as we are on the cusp of new, we're on the cusp of a new year, we're on the cusp of a new decade, and all that that brings, God. Your encouragement to us, your word to us, is to not necessarily worry about the things that are going to come up, but instead to worry about you. And to set our attention and our affection on you through your word. Because when we do that, we will be able to navigate everything that this new year and this new decade will bring to us. So God, I pray that we would be people that set aside time to do that every single day. We can't control a lot of things, God, but what we can control is the time that we give to you every day that you give us. And so God, I pray that we would create time and space for you and for your word each day of our life, each day of this next year, each day of this next decade, Lord, that we might not forget you. We might not turn to the right or the left, but Lord, we would stay the course, seeking first your kingdom, remaining devoted to you. We pray for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue on in our service here. We're going to sing some more worship. We're also going to have just a couple of other opportunities for you guys to process through everything, to seek after God. And so we have some tables set up around here that have communion on them. Communion is it's bread and it's grape juice, but those are symbols that God has given to us as a reminder of the sacrifice that Jesus has made for us. God has given us access to him through his son Jesus and his death on the cross. And so it's through Jesus' blood, it's through Jesus' body that we are able to enter into relationship with God. We're able to live our lives for him. And so we have communion around here as the reminder of how we have that relationship, of how we can be saved, of how we can live our lives for God. It's not through our own strength, it's through his sacrifice on our behalf. And it's a reminder too, even if you're in the pits thinking, what have I been doing? It's a reminder that, hey, you are forgiven through the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus. And so if you need that, if you need that to minister to you, to be reminded of that, we've got the communion elements here. We're also going to have some prayer counselors around. If you are wanting just the encouragement of a brother or sister as you say goodbye to 2019 and you go into 2020, or maybe you have something that's just been really heavy on your heart, we'll have prayer counselors around here to talk with or to just ask for prayer from. So we won't just be singing, but we'll have those things available. And my encouragement is that you would just take advantage of that. So let me pray again, and then we'll close off the night. Lord, we thank you for the reminders that you give us, God. That, Lord, we are so easily forgetful, and yet you have given us means to remember you. So I pray that we would remember you through communion. Lord, I thank you that we're not on this journey alone. That, Lord, you provide us with a family. You provide us with brothers and sisters that are on this journey with us, that can speak a word of life to us when we need it, that can pray over us, Lord, when we don't know what to pray. So God, I pray that we would take advantage of that, wouldn't be afraid of sharing or opening up. But Lord, we would know that as we share and we open up, we're opening up and sharing to a family member, to a brother or sister, and you've given us that privilege. So would we take advantage of that? I pray as we finish out this night, Lord, would we continue to have a posture that is open towards you. Give us eyes to see you. Give us minds to know you. Give us, Lord, hearts of flesh that receive you and all that you have for us. Remove any stone. Remove any rocks. Remove any weeds that might be choking out what you have for us, God. And would you just give us a heart that can receive what you have for us the rest of this night? Pray for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.